An Outcast of the Islands by Joseph Conrad. Author's Note. An Outcast of the Islands is my second novel in the absolute sense of the word. Second in conception, second in execution, second, as it were, in its essence. There was no hesitation, half-formed plan, vague idea, or the vaguest reverie of anything else between it and Almayer's Folly. The only doubt I suffered from, after the publication of Almayer's Folly, was whether I should write another line of print. Those days, now grown so dim, had their poignant moments. Neither in my mind nor in my heart had I then given up the sea. In truth, I was clinging to it desperately, all the more desperately because, against my will, I could not help feeling that there was something changed in my relation to it. Almayer's Folly had been finished and done with. The mood itself was gone. But it had left the memory of an experience that, both in thought and emotion, was unconnected with the sea, and I suppose that part of my moral being which is rooted in consistency was badly shaken. I was a victim of contrary stresses which produced a state of immobility. I gave myself up to indolence. Since it was impossible for me to face both ways, I had elected to face nothing. The discovery of new values in life is a very chaotic experience. There is a tremendous amount of jostling and confusion and a momentary feeling of darkness. I let my spirit float supine over that chaos. A phrase of Edward Garnett's is, as a matter of fact, responsible for this book. The first of the friends I made for myself by my pen, it was but natural that he should be the recipient, at that time, of my confidences. One evening when we had dined together, and he had listened to the account of my perplexities, I fear he must have been growing a little tired of them, he pointed out that there was no need to determine my future absolutely. Then he added, "You have the style. You have the temperament. Why not write another?" I believe that as far as one man may wish to influence another man's life, Edward Garnett had a great desire that I should go on writing. At that time, and I may say ever afterwards, he was always very patient and gentle with me. What strikes me most, however, in the phrase quoted above, which was offered to me in a tone of detachment, is not its gentleness, but its effective wisdom. Had he said, "Why not go on writing?" it is very probable he would have scared me away from pen and ink forever. But there was nothing either to frighten one or to arouse one's antagonism in the mere suggestion.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?